Hey everybody, Lincoln Oliphant here. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the Dreamcast. As always, Austin and I had a blast recording it. It's always so fun to talk about our dreams and the experiences that come out of them. So without further ado, on to the show. Hello everybody, welcome back to the Dreamcast, where we discuss dreams, what they mean, and everything in between. I am your host, Lincoln Oliphant, and as always, I am joined by my best friend in the whole wide world, Austin Weaver. Say hi, Austin.
Hi, wow, that's quite the introduction. Thank you.
I know, it just kind of came out, so it's got to be true now. So.
Hey, I feel the same way. It's mutual.
You're making me blush. Before we jump into the dreams, I do want to address, we haven't made a recording in like 2 months, 2.5 months. I started school again. I'm in college right now. I'm taking 14 credits and working, so I've been busy on my end. And I know, Austin, you have been very, very busy on your end as well, working in a real adult job. So,
yeah, we've both just kind of been in the thick of it, but I've been dreaming, you know, I've been having dreams. Yeah. So we need to do this.
Yeah. I actually had a crazy dream last night and I'm going to share it. And I woke up and 2 minutes later, I had a text from Austin saying, dude, I had a crazy dream last night. So I was like, all right, this is a sign that it's time to start. Like,
We've been pushing it off long enough. We need to record again. So this is good.
Yeah. So, hopefully moving forward, it should be back to the every other Saturday. Yeah. If not more frequently, we'll see what happens, but at the very least every other Saturday moving forward, things have calmed down enough for that. Austin, do you want to share your dream first today, or do you want me to share mine?
Yeah. I haven't heard from you in a long time. So how about you go? Is that all right?
Yeah, I can definitely go. I will preface it by saying it's the longest dream I've written down. So I'll do my best to kind of condense, but it might be kind of chunky. So if I take more, if I'm running long, just tell me to cut short.
Yeah. No, we're making up for lost time. This is good.
You're right. 4-hour episode. Here we go. Yeah, right. You're right.
Turned into a Joe Rogan episode.
Oh, yikes. Love that guy. But sometimes it's like, wrap it up. So like we said, both of our dreams today are from this night, which I suppose to put a timetable, this is October 1st as of the time of recording. I guess I'll just hop into the dream. Okay, ready. So it says, the dream started and I was at a house that was essentially my grandparents' house, very reminiscent of where all the rooms are laid, the way that the staircase is, windows, all that. Pretty much exactly my grandparents' house, but instead of having like old 80s style wood paneling, it was just regular like drywall. Yeah. And that'll be important later. So I was told I was going to be like babysitting this girl. I've been watching my niece a lot recently, so I think that's where that comes from. But soon after I got there, she was like scared that another girl was there following her. So I listened to her. I listened to the story that she told, and I realized there was like a ghost, like a little girl's ghost there. But she didn't really seem violent as much as she was scared as well. So I went up to her and I talked to her. Learned her name was Allison. And like her face was like kind of rotted. It was almost like in the, what's the movie? In the Ring, where her face isn't like disgusting as much as it is just like gray. And like, you can tell something's wrong, but it's not necessarily like cut up or gross. So I was like, hey, you can play with us. And so she started playing with me and this other girl as I was watching them. But she kept on going over to this one section of the wallpaper and like touching it and causing it to like mold. And she'd pull away like little bits of the wallpaper each time. I was like, hey, stop. There's a hidden room back there and it could be dangerous to play in. And then I realized like, wait, her body's probably in that hidden room. Like that's probably why they walled it off. So, sorry, I feel like I'm saying a lot. Deal with it, guys. We're making up for lost time on that, too. But we went and we looked for, like, drywall tools because she was, like, trying to break her way in. And I told her, I'm going to help you, but you've waited this long. Can you wait an extra 10 minutes so we can get the proper tools to fix the wall afterwards? So we went into like this little utility closet and we were looking for tools and I couldn't find them. And she's like, I found it. And I turn around and there's this little ghost girl with a drywall knife, which is like a heavily serrated blade. And she's just like holding it and staring at me. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And like, take it away from her. So we go out and as we're walking out of that room, I realize that room is also haunted. So I like turn off the lights, lock the door, and I like tie rope around the door to keep it shut. And then Allison said that she got tired. So I pick her up and I piggyback this ghost girl and we go and cut through this wall. And as soon as the drywall falls away and she sees her body, she like smiles. And that's where the dream shifts to the second part. So the second part takes place like years later. In my mind, you know how your brain sometimes with dreams like tells you like backstory or information that isn't explicitly stated, but it just like makes sense.
You don't visually see it, but like you just know.
Mm-hmm. It's like the backstory of the dream. So I found myself at like a party on this island beach resort kind of a place. And it was like tons of people there. Just, you know, a very fancy, full, like 5-star resort kind of a situation. And we were all playing and we see the water start to surge. And we realize that there's a, like a miniature tsunami, a flood. And so it washes a lot of us away. And as we're being washed away, we realize that it also broke a lot of the trees up in the forest. And the water's flooded so high to this point that we're like above these sharp, broken tree stumps. So we're trying to not get stabbed by these stumps. Have you seen The Impossible? It's based on a true story. Ewan McGregor.
But that's like the Katrina one, right? Or not the Katrina. It's like the tsunami one.
Yeah, I think it actually may have been Katrina. It was the one that was in Sri Lanka, I'm pretty sure. I had to turn it off. It was too intense for me because the flood scene is like hyper realistic.
Really interesting.
And it's really well done. Like it's a masterful movie, but anywho, so that's kind of the level of the flood that I was experiencing in this dream. Some of us made it onto this raft that somebody had inflated. And we thought we were safe, but then the raft ended up scratching on some of the trees and popping and throwing us back into the water. And so we were desperately swimming. This water was swirling all around and this National Guard ship comes up and pulls us out of the water, saves us, sends us up into this building that is like I said, it was an island, but like this building's almost like out in the water. So it's looking back at the island, if that makes sense. And I find myself in the top floor of this building and the water all recedes. And where the flood had happened, there was like damage, broken trees, rubble, but there was nobody like hurt. It wasn't catastrophic by any means. And people wanted to go back over and help, but we were told nobody's allowed to go back over there. So I'm looking down. Yeah, it was weird. I'm looking down from the super high, it's like a 10-story building, and I can see my dad running back from like where the building base is towards the flooded side and like helping people and then running back in. So like my dad found a way to sneak back and forth. So I decide I want to go help him. So I go down to like the second story and there's a balcony that goes out over where the island is at, but the balcony is made out of like interwoven books, you know, where it's like you take, I don't know, like the yellow pages and like interlay them. So they're like unbreakable. There was like a, I don't even know how to describe it, like a path made out of those books, but it was jutting out of the second story of the building. So it was like almost like okay. A balcony, but it didn't have a railing or anything. And my grandma was there. I know this dream's all over the place, but I promise it ties back in.
No, that's cool. I like it. Yeah.
But yeah, my grandma was there and she also wanted to go. And so she was like walking on this balcony of books and she takes like 3 steps and falls, of course, because she's an old woman. so she falls down and I'm like, I need to go help her. So I jump down as well. And when I jump down, we're like on the island area. We're outside of the building. So we realize like, oh, like, yeah, we wanted to be here, but now it's not safe. So we try to find my dad's secret path to sneak back in. And I find it, but it's like this huge pile of junk. And at the top of this pile, it's like stacked 15, 20 feet tall. There's a little hole, like a broken window into the building. So I help my grandma climb it, and she's too big to fit through the hole easily. So she's like trying to kind of wiggle through, but she's an old woman. She's a larger woman. And I hear a voice behind me that says, like, "Hey, you can't do that. You can't be here." And as I turn to look, I'm looking at my grandma helping her get through. As I turn around to look at the voice, the dream shifts again to part three. And it's years in the future from that moment. So the flood is done. And the backstory that I know from this shift is everybody who survived the flood believed it to be like a sign from God. That, you know, it was like Noah and the flood, right? Where it's like their hubris. And so in order to show their devotion, they developed this chip that can be implanted that takes away your sight. It doesn't like damage your eyes or anything. It just like shuts off the brain's connection with your eyes, if that makes sense. So almost everybody at this point is blind, but I had basically chosen to rebel. And I was part of this rebel group that didn't want to be blind because duh. And I was like in this government facility. So it shifted where I'm like still trying to sneak out of a hole. And there's still somebody telling me like, "Hey, you can't be here." But it's a mirror situation where instead of trying to sneak back into the building, I'm now trying to sneak out of like a government building as a rebel. So this guard attacks me and I'm fighting back, and he pulls out a taser, and you know, we do some Jackie Chan hand-to-hand combat, and I grab the taser and I put it against his head and I tase him, and it causes the chip to short out and his eyesight comes back.
What? And
it like freaks him out, like in a good way, where he's like overwhelmed and like overjoyed, and he's like, "What do I do?" And I tell him, "Follow me." And so we run together. We fight two more guards and give them their sight back. And we have like a moment of safety from everybody else who's finding us. And so we all kind of talk, and they're like, "What do we do?" I'm like, "I can get us out of here, but I need to get access to the security room. Where is it?" So they pointed out to me, which is funny because they were blind, but somehow they know exactly where it is by sight. So they pointed out to me and I climb into it. It's like up a little ways, basically on the second floor. And I disable the security protocols. But when I go to climb back down, we're spotted. And so we start running full kilter towards the exits because I've disabled all the security protocols. So we can just open doors, run through, it'll be fine. But as we're running, we're getting like overwhelmed with all these other guards and all these other blind zealots. And we're tasing as many of them as we can, restoring sight. And we run outside and there's like an entourage behind us because some of the people are happy that their sight's restored. Some of the people are angry and still want to fight. But I get outside of the building and I'm on like the east side of it, I guess. So we're in the shadows because it's the afternoon. So we get outside, I turn to the left and start running, and I make it to the side of the building where the sunlight's still hitting, if that makes sense. So like I've made it off the east side and I'm now on,
yeah,
would that be north? But there's sunlight and I don't turn back. I just keep running. There's a small shed that I climb on top of, but as everybody else is running, the people who just received their sight turn the corner into the sun and they see this beautiful orange sunlight, this sunset that's happening, and it just stops them dead in their tracks. The people who are happy that their sight's back, the people who are angry, everybody. And as they're standing in awe, I climb up onto the roof and in front of me is Allison, the ghost from the first part of the dream. But instead of looking like the gray face, like kind of decrepit and moldy, for lack of a better word, or rotting, I guess would be the better word, she's like beautiful and she's grown at like age wise from being a little girl to like 20s, you know, yeah, mid 20s. And I run up to her and I hug her because I know she's been like purified, right? She's been freed from being a stuck ghost and she's now like an angel returned, just to visit me in this moment for some reason. So I run up to her and I embrace her and I just say like, thank you for being a part of my life. You know, thank you for bringing me to this point and helping me restore everybody else's sight. And then I woke up.
Dang. So you were able to get like a satisfying kind of ending, it sounds like.
Yeah. Where like, not only did I help people get their eyesight back and there was like this orange sunset, but I also was able to see this ghost that I didn't really know what happened to her after I freed her. And she was like this adorable, very sweet little girl who just also happened to be dead. So it was like this closure of all three of the different parts coming together.
Man, that, remember how in a previous podcast we'd mentioned that like some dreams are more just like visual and mm-hmm. abstract, and then other dreams tell like a narrative story. This one definitely had like a beginning, middle, and end, it feels like.
No, absolutely. And it was very sensory, where it wasn't just like visual for me. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast where I almost feel things in my dreams. Like, this was one of the most intensely real dreams I've had in a long time.
Yeah, that's interesting that like maybe we have these dreams, but we just don't remember them. And the fact that you're able to recall so much detail is really cool. I mean, you typically dream very vividly, but it's nice that that you were able to keep notes or like retain enough of it in the conscious realm that we live in now, right? The waking hours. Mm-hmm. It's nice that you're able to recall it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it hasn't happened a lot very recently. Recently it's been, I'll wake up at like 6:45 and because that's when I have my alarm set for some reason. And I'll be like, wow, what a good dream. And then I'll fall back asleep for like 15, 20 minutes. And when I wake up, I can't remember anything. Yeah. So I need to get into the habit better.
Yeah, I need to be better about writing it down like as soon as I wake up. Or
because when we do write it down, I feel like we both remember a lot of detail. But
yeah, and I think it increases your ability to dream in a particular way, which is cool. Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Man, that's awesome. It's interesting to me that like we're recording this on October 1st and we're entering like spooky season or whatever, you know, like we're getting into that Halloween time of the year, and your dream had such like Halloween elements. You know, you had the ghosts, you had sort of the horror, but also like the action-y parts. Mm-hmm. Of the dream, but you also had sort of a satisfying ending, which is really cool.
It followed a narrative structure, like you said.
Yeah, and it's nice that you were able to have a dream that fits in with the season a little bit, you know. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. My friends and I have made a point to go to a haunted house every weekend this spooky season. So I'm honestly kind of hoping to have more spooky dreams, not necessarily nightmares, but just ones that like when you wake up, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if your dream felt very like cathartic, like you were, you were able to set someone free and you were able to learn something about someone else. And yeah, I love the dream stories I have that give me that sense of like awe and wonder. That's exciting.
Yeah, they're definitely that closing scene where I've literally led these once blind people into the light. I mean, not intentionally, of course, but looking at it after I woke up, like I led these people into the light. I was viewing this beautiful sunset, and a literal angel who I had been able to help earlier came back to me. So it was just like this incredibly wonderful moment where it all tied together, and like honestly it was a bigger ego boost than I needed, but it just kind of brought it together and was like, no, you're okay.
Yeah, man, that's great. I when you were talking about your dream and like seeing the sunset, I've always said that like I think it would be dope that, and this is probably kind of morbid, but like if when I die, I want to be buried like the Viking style, where I'm like pushed out in a casket at sea or like some body of water into the sunset, and then an archer with a flaming arrow like shoots it into my thing, you know, as I'm like going out. I forget what there's like a name for that, but I've always thought that would be like a pretty awesome way to go.
And it definitely brings that to mind.
Yeah, like that sunset, and then the fact that like the spirits, like they were, or the people were able to see, and then kind of like in the movie Ghost, where like it ends and he's finally able to like be at rest and like he's not stuck on the earth anymore, and same kind of feeling. Man, that's cool, man. That's I feel lame now, because like the dream I have, definitely it doesn't have as much action and like intrigue, and it it ended very abruptly. My alarm like woke me up in the middle of it, but
oh, that's the worst.
So well, mine's gonna be like the antithesis of your dream probably. But
honestly, that's probably a good thing, because I feel like sometimes if there's too much detail in dream or too much story in general, you lose some of the ability to make it abstract and like universally relevant, you know. Where we've talked about several dreams where it's very detailed, and typically that is my dreams, so apologies, but where there's so much happening that it's like, here's a story. But what I love about your dreams, especially the kind of shorter ones, is it's like, here's a feeling, and we can dig into that a little bit more and pull more out of it than just like a linear path. So yeah, I'm excited to hear what you dreamed.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, there are kind of some similarities between the dreams, but I'd say vastly they're very different. I'm going to start naming my dreams too. I've started naming my like journal entries, like when I've just been writing my journal about my life, because I find that like when I watch a TV show or a movie, like if it has a title to the episode or the movie or the story, I like focus my attention more on it. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, or, like, where did they get that? Out.
Yeah. And it was, sorry, where did you get that? Information or idea.
I decided, so this is the dream I had last night, and it's cool that both of our dreams for this episode are like recently we had them, you know. So I named this one Viva Argentina, so I thought you would like it because you've lived in Argentina for a little bit.
Aguante Boca.
Aguante Boca, is that's something mouth?
Yeah, Boca's technically mouth. It's the two of the big sports teams down there are Boca and River.
Oh, and cool.
So Aguante is like support them. So Aguante Boca is like go Boca, basically. Okay.
So I'll share kind of my notes and then the story of the dream. And then I'll afterwards maybe offer some speculation, because there's a lot of tie-ins to like what's going on in real life right now, I suppose.
Awesome. I love hearing about that.
So yeah, there was sort of two distinct parts. The first part was very brief, very quick. But in the first part of the dream, I'm sitting on a couch and I'm surrounded by like tons of my friends, but I'm in a room like I've never seen before. And my friends, Emma and Allison, are there, and like some of their friends and some of like people I knew in college. Like, you might have even been there. It was like just vague enough, but also like that specific feeling of being around people you know very well, but like I couldn't really see them all in the dream. But yeah, so like my friend Emma's there and some of our other friends, and we're sitting in like a circle, and everything in the room is old for some reason. I don't know why that is. Like, the couch is old. They're sitting on this credenza like that has a like a VCR and like an old TV and like an antenna on the TV and like stuff you just don't see anymore, right?
So it's set up like something from the 80s almost.
Yeah, like 80s or kind of like 90s, like with the era I grew up in, like late 90s, early 2000s, just something like that. And we're all going around and we're talking in a circle about just like our life and our plans. And I brought up that like, oh, my older sister and I, we were planning on going to Israel this year, but we couldn't because of COVID and everything, which is like a real thing that actually is true in real life. Like, we were supposed to go in March and we canceled our trip. But yeah, we're sitting like next to this old like computer and TV. And I don't know why that's important to the story. It was just like very like vivid to me in the dream. Like I saw it very clearly. Mm-hmm. And anyways, there was one session of General Conference that we were watching. So it was like a Saturday. And so General Conference, for people who don't know, it's where members of our church get to speak to like everyone in the entire church in the world. And it's there, there's messages that are sent out and spoken by different leaders. And so we had like, I think that's why we were sitting on this couch, is like, we had just finished watching it and we were just talking about like our life goals. And I was like, man, like I really need to travel. Like I've always wanted to go to Argentina, and like, I knew people on my mission that were from there. And I was like, I've always kind of wanted to visit that place. And then one of my friends that was like sitting across from me on the couch was like, hey, you, if that's what you want to do, then you should just do it. And then the scene like immediately cuts to, it's nighttime in Argentina, and it immediately cuts to like these silhouettes of trees. And there's like a blue, like starry sky above it. And most of the dream is like first person, so I'm seeing most of it, but that's like the one section of the dream where it's like the camera like is looking at the forest. Mm-hmm. And then
it's like an introductory shot to Argentina.
Yeah, it's like an introductory shot to Argentina, which like is a place I've never been. Uh-huh. But like I knew it was Argentina somehow, you know, in the dream. Like you said, like there wasn't a welcome to Argentina sign or anything, but I just knew like that's where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera like shifts like from third person like into first and back like into my perspective, which was really weird. And so I'm looking out in like first person. And so this, you know, enters the second part of the dream, and I'm walking along this dirt road, and there's this, and it's like a very blue, like a mixture. It's like a gradient of like light blue or dark blue to light blue sky. And there's stars everywhere, and I'm walking along this road, and I look to my right, and my dad's there, and he's walking with me. So like, I don't know how I got there, but somehow I guess my dad and I took like a, and I don't know why no one else is with us. Like, I don't know why it's not a family trip, but it's just like me and my dad, and we're walking
me
down,
and the boys.
Yeah. And like, I have no memory in the dream of like a flight or traveling there. I just like immediately arrived there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everything in the dream is very pretty. Like the trees are dark, but they're very, like the wind's blowing them in a cool way. And then the stars are shining very brightly, but they're different. Like for, you know, I served a mission in Brazil, and I also spent like a summer in Australia. And so for those of us who've been to the other side of the world, like some people don't really notice because they look up at the sky and they're just like, oh, stars are stars, right? But that was actually one of the first things that stood out to me as being very different when I arrived there, was like, I go camping a lot, and I was in Boy Scouts growing up and stuff like that. And you really orient yourself according to the night sky, like the North Star and everything. And in the Southern Hemisphere, the stars are completely different. You know, there is no North Star. There's like the Southern Cross. There's a few other formations. You can actually mm-hmm. see like a branch of the arm of the Milky Way a lot better in the Southern Hemisphere, I think.
Yeah, it's gorgeous down there.
Yeah, and that was also present in my dream. So there wasn't a lot of light pollution. So it was like a dirt road with, there was no street lights, but yet it was very well lit from like these stars. And I don't think the moon was out, but my dad and I are walking along this road, and we look out, and there's fireworks happening, and they're red, white, and blue, which is strange. But I'm looking out. My dad's like, oh, are they like celebrating something like from the United States? And then I'm like looking at the different formations of the fireworks, and one of them forms like the French flag. And I'm like, oh, I think they're celebrating like the fact that Lionel Messi just got transferred to like a French soccer team or something, which is like also a thing that actually happened in real life. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I think they're just like super proud that their boy is like on a new team or something. And so there's like fireworks going on along like with these stars as we're traveling through this dirt road. And mm-hmm. I'm walking. And so my dad, he served a mission in Australia. And so I asked my dad, I'm like, hey, these stars, do they look similar to like the ones you saw on your mission? And he's like, no. And I was like, okay. But he's like, yeah, I mean, they're similar, just like it's a different angle or something, I guess, you know? And he's like, but they're very pretty here. And I'm like, yeah, they're very beautiful. And so we're walking along this road and we eventually arrive at this little concrete house. And this like old lady opens the door and there's like a dog and like a few other people and they all come rushing out to greet us. And it's like one of my friends from my mission who's actually from Argentina, and they're there to greet us and they feed us dinner. They feed us this like wonderful meal. There's like bread and like just spaghetti and I don't know, rice and beans and fruit and like all these different things. And so they feed us and we're like, it's already pretty late at night, but like they knew we were hungry from traveling. And so they feed us and then like they tuck us into bed at night. And I don't know Spanish, but I like muddle, like so my friend and I, like we served in the same mission in Brazil. So like we both kind of speak Portuguese. But then when I spoke to like their parents, I sort of muddled through the Spanish and just kind of guessed like using my Portuguese skills, and we were able to like kind of understand one another. And then my dad just sort of uses hand gestures to communicate and like tries to show like expressively with his face that like he's grateful for the food and like letting us stay with them. And yeah, so we say thank you. They tuck us in and then we wake up in the morning and the sun is like shining very brightly. And I look out the window and the sky forms like it's sort of the same shade of blue that it was the night before, this like really light sort of like gradient blue. And then the Argentine flag, it's got like a sun, right? With like a face on it, I think. Uh-huh. And then like it's in, so it's like a white, it's three stripes, three horizontal stripes. It's like blue, white, and then blue again. And then this sun is like in the middle.
Yep.
And so I look out the window and the window is like the shape of the flag. It's like the same rectangle shape. And then the sun looks like the Argentine like flag sun. And then the sky forms like the two blue lines. And it like, I look out the window and I'm like, oh, it's like the flag. Like that's why their flag is this thing. Cause it looks like that here. I don't know if that's making any sense at all.
I'm just imagining the sun with a face and be like, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And there was just a bunch of random details I remember about their house. Like it was made of concrete. My friend's dad was also there and he had like a picture on the wall of him holding a lightsaber and he was attending like Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, like premiere with his homies. And my dad and I were like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like we love Star Wars, you know? And then, so we wake up, they feed us breakfast. And then we watched the Sunday session of General Conference because somehow there was enough time for me to like watch the Saturday session in English in the United States and then travel to Argentina, I suppose. And then we watched General Conference and we're like laughing, having a good time. And my friend is like about to say something to me and then my alarm like wakes me up.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Yeah.
So it seems like that next line was going to be like something poignant.
Yeah. And I don't really know what it means or why I had it. I mean, so I'll offer a little bit of speculation. So like this weekend is General Conference. So that's something that I guess I've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. And then this friend from my mission, they've been wanting to practice English a little bit. And I've also been kind of wanting to like brush up on my Portuguese. So yeah, we like called each other a couple weeks ago and I like helped them with their English and they helped me with Portuguese. And we kind of just caught up because it's been a while since we've talked. And they wanted to call again on this weekend on Sunday at General Conference or after General Conference. They wanted to like catch up and do another phone call and practice the English a little bit. So it was just interesting to me that like that same friend who I'm planning on seeing this weekend, I had a dream that like during General Conference weekend, I went down to their house, but instead of like calling them, I was like physically in Argentina.
Mm-hmm. And well, that kind of makes sense, though. Yeah. That's like a pretty linear connection between.
It's like a parallel. Yeah, like it doesn't tell a story, but it like reflects like my conscious thoughts and it kind of works them in my subconscious, I guess.
Yes, that friend and conference. and that friend in conference, but in two different aspects.
Right. It's like it's like upside down or like inverted, you know, it's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's really cool.
And lately, cause I think in a previous episode, you probably remember, like I had a similar vibes where I was in like a forest and I was with my dad, but like the sky was really pretty. It was sort of the same thing in this dream. Like the sky was really pretty. It was different. It was a different kind of pretty. It wasn't like I don't know, but my dad was there for some reason. Yeah, I don't know.
Very interesting. Am I crazy, or was that other dream where you were in the when you were in the forest? Was that the dream that you had where you ended up in heaven as well?
Yeah, I think so. Or that might have been the first dream I told you about, where like I'm up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad was in that dream too.
So, yeah, because so I remember you talked about him. So.
Yeah. So it's been like three or four possibly different dreams where like my dad has been with me. And I don't know, as I was thinking about this dream, I listened to, like, you know, we both are fans of podcasts. That's why we're doing this. One of the podcasts I listen to is like Jordan B. Peterson. I think I might've mentioned him before. He's a Canadian like clinical psychologist dude. And anyways, he mentions in one of his episodes that he remembers like helping this family that was going through a divorce. Like they'd come to see him, this mother and father, they were separating, but they wanted their son to get help because he was having these very strange like nightmares. Right. And, mm-hmm. and so he's like, okay, like we can work through it together, you know? And he said that, they said that like their boy was taking the divorce very hard. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember how old he was, but he was pretty young, I think. And so Jordan talks about how this boy comes to him and he's like, hey, well, just describe to me your dream. Tell me what you dreamt about. And in the dream, the boy, and I'm probably like butchering the story, but there was like a bunch of little like elf things, like little gremlins or like dwarves that were like attacking him, and he would kill one. So he had like a sword, right? And he would kill one, but then like three more would pop up in their place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the distance, far off, there was this dragon. And he sees this dragon and he's afraid of it. And he thinks it's going to like tear him apart. Right. But then he asks him, okay, well then what happens in this dream? Like, what do you do? And he says, well, at first I thought I should like fight the dwarf dudes, but it was kind of useless. Cause once I tried to get rid of one, like more would pop up. And then he said, and then I knew I couldn't do it by myself. Like I couldn't fight off these people alone. So I summoned my dad into my dream and I went into battle like with my dad, and we decided to ignore the dwarves and we went straight for the dragon. And he said, and I fought the dragon and I cut off like a piece of the dragon. And then I used that piece as a shield. And then like together, me and my dad were able to defeat the dragon, I guess. Right.
Dude, that's so metal.
Which is like super cool, right? And he talks about how like he had never heard anything that like interesting in a dream, and he said how it was symbolic that like the thing that defeated the dragon was like, because he's like, if you're gonna go to war, like you might as well have your father with you. Mm-hmm. I guess who like he represents like where you come from, but like because there's your physical father, but there's also like the mythological being of your father, right?
Uh-huh.
And you want your father to go with you into battle because he represents all the experience that you could gain and all the things you could become, right? And he said it's also symbolic that like the thing that defeated the dragon was like a piece of the dragon because it was strong enough to like fight against it, and how like in life we sometimes get bogged down by like the little dwarf dudes, right? But the thing that will sort of free you or liberate you, it, like he says, sometimes like the treasure you seek most to find is in the place you want least to look, right? And it's like the dragon was like the scariest monster, but if you took care of that first, then those other problems would sort of fall into place, right?
Yeah, because what are dwarfs next to a dragon?
Yeah, and so I think what he felt like was the world was the boy felt like this, the world was a scary place, which like it is, and he's right. But he felt like if his father was there, he would be able to tackle it. But with the divorce, he wanted to make sure that like his father would be there with him and like not abandon him in battle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they worked out, I think, a way to like make sure the boy had enough time with his father and his mother. And like, yeah, it was really interesting. And so
that's so interesting, because that makes me think in your dream and dreams that you've had and talked about, like your dad's there a lot. And I mean, I know you guys have a pretty good relationship. So
and he's alive, by the way. He's not like a dad. You know? Because typically I've heard people dream about that, like when their parents passed away. But I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. And I think it shows like a level of connection, because you've always been like, there's a lot of men who are afraid to have genuine, deep connections with people in life. And you are not one of those men. You love your male partners, your male friends, your male relationships very deeply. And I think that is shown nowhere more intense and more personal than your relationship with your father.
Yeah. And like, I love my mother and my sisters, and I have an aunt that, like, you know, I grew up very close with, and they're all important to me. But like lately I've been dreaming a lot about my father. And I think part of it is like when you get into adulthood, you have to kind of grow up and you look to your father, because like, he's sort of the one that you're going to emulate the most, right? Cause like he's a man and you're following in his footsteps to become like him. And there's definitely mythology behind like the mother figure, right? And then the sister and the brother figures and the different relationships we have in life. But like there's something pertinent to the father mythological figure to this time of life that I'm in right now, I think. And that's probably why he's been appearing in my dreams. And my father, like, he kind of hates traveling. He does not – he loves the United States. He's very patriotic. So the fact that he was willing to go with me –
dead in Argentina.
And like he loved me enough to go to Argentina. Like for some reason it was important to him that like he went with me, even though he doesn't like that – the idea of traveling or whatever, going to other countries, like he felt like it was important to go with me. Like that like really stood out to me for some reason in the dream. Like I was like, oh, I'm really glad that my dad's here. And I don't know why, like no one else was there. Like I'd want my mom or my sister or someone to be there too. But yeah, I don't know. And I wasn't fighting a dragon. There wasn't any antagonism in the dream. It felt very peaceful, but there was still some kind of adventure I was going on that I needed him to be there with me for, I suppose. And I would have liked to have seen where the dream ended up, but yeah, it was a shame that the alarm kind of, but it was like, so like, I wanted to know how it ended that like, that's like, I think I texted you right kind of when I woke up, it was around 7 a.m. And
yeah, it was very early.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I want to touch on just real quick. Two things. The first one, you said they tucked you in. Did they really? They come up and they like tuck the blanket underneath.
No,
you,
like, yeah, I use that word. It like emotionally, I felt tucked in, but I think what actually happened was like my dad and I went into bed and they just like turned off the light and like waved goodbye to us, I think is what actually happened, if I remember right.
Okay.
It wasn't like they actually. I've had roommates that did that as a joke to me. Like it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes being tucked in feels nice, but then. I don't know. It also, I need like room. I like move around a lot when I sleep.
Yeah. I don't want to be swaddled.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not great to be tucked in, but yeah. And I also normally don't dream about sleeping, right? Like the only other dream I can remember is like the one I shared with you where I think I was in the forest and then like I fell asleep in the forest. And when I fell asleep in the dream, I woke up in real life. Right.
Uh-huh.
With this one, it was more like I slept in the dream and I recall there being like a night and then a day and waking up. Mm-hmm. But then it was in the morning when I was talking to my friend and we were watching General Conference that I like physically woke up due to my alarm clock. So yeah, I normally don't dream about sleeping. Like usually my dreams are about me awake doing different things. But yeah, the idea of dreaming about sleep is kind of weird to me. You know, it's kind of like next level.
I have a decent amount of dreams where I sleep, but I would say I have very few dreams where I dream, if that makes sense.
And I don't like, remember dreaming. I just remember like falling asleep and then waking up immediately, but
And that's less, that's less abnormal to me than if you had like gone to sleep and had a dream, then woken up and finished the dream and then woken up, like Inception, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still crazy. The other thing I wanted to touch on just real quick is kind of going back to the dad thing, where I think it's really interesting that he's like such a homebody. And I haven't actually met your dad, but you've said a lot of good things about him. And what I find really interesting is like, he's not a very adventurous person, but like, I fully believe that if you were to be like, "Hey dad, will you go to Argentina with me?" Like, he wouldn't shoot it down. Would I be overstepping?
Yeah. Like, and he does value, I guess, adventure in a sense, but he doesn't get that sense of adventure from like traveling outside the US. Like, he, mm-hmm. he feels like there's plenty to do here. And, you know, he likes fixing things. He likes working with his hands. He likes, I guess, you know, kind of feeling like he's able to control things. And I think when you travel, there's a lot of factors outside your control, you know, but, but yeah, no, I do think that like he's been to Europe, and like before we left, he was like, "Oh, like I'm going to hate like not being in the US and stuff." But when we did go, like, I felt like there were times where he really enjoyed himself. Like, we found some like historical sites, like some castles that he got really into. And there was like kind of some old World War II stuff that he found really interesting, you know? And for whatever reason, we were, and yet, another thing too, maybe this is part of it. Like, my dad and I watched a movie not too long ago about, like, there's this Israeli intelligence agency. It's got Oscar Isaac in it. I think it's called Operation Finale. And it's like about a lot of the Nazi dudes that went and hid out in like Argentina and South America, and the Mossad, the Israeli like intelligence service, they go down into Argentina and like find them and like bring them to justice. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah. And so my dad and I like watched that movie together. Yeah, it was just me and him who watched it. So that also could be part of the reason like we were in Argentina, but I wasn't like thinking about that dream while I was there with him. It felt very much like Argentina was in the present, even though the first half of the dream was like in the 90s. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. So yeah, my last comment would just be like, I think it's amazing that your brain, because if it was just like a one-time dream, you know, your brain pulls in random people to play random roles.
Right, for dreams. Right.
Yeah, but yeah. The fact that you've now had multiple dreams where your father is either stepping outside of his comfort zone, where yeah. I'm pretty sure he was the one who swore in the heavenly choir.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where he's... Yeah, yeah. Stepping outside of his comfort zone and doing things that he wouldn't traditionally do, but almost all in positive manners in your dreams. You know, even as he swore, he was in a heavenly choir. And in this dream, he was in Argentina, didn't speak the language, but he was on an adventure with you. So I think it's really admirable that you have that relationship with him, where your like subconscious feels comfortable going back to him and using him repeatedly for different situations, but positive situations. So
yeah, and my dad wasn't there in the first half of the dream. I almost think this might be just speculating too much, but I almost feel like he was absent in the first half of the dream because, like, when you're a child, you're just kind of like, I don't know, you're surrounded by people your age. And like in the first half of the dream, it was in the 90s, right? Or like early 2000s. So it sort of like represents my adolescence and like childhood. But then in the second half of the dream, it was somehow in the present era, but also it was only like a day later.
Yeah.
And my dad was there. And maybe like as you become older, like your parents sort of become wiser and wiser, right? It's not like that they actually do get wiser. You just sort of start to become more and more like them and understand like how smart they always were, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you kind of come to appreciate them more later in life. So
that's such a good thought. I wish we had more time to actually touch on that and like
dig into that. Yeah. And I'm sure these themes will pop up in my dreams again, so we can dissect it more in a future episode. But
absolutely. But yeah. And I'm happy to run circles and hit the same topics every couple episodes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So I awesome. Appreciate you listening though. And it helped me kind of work through it, 'cause it was really something I wanted to talk to you about.
No, I'm glad that you shared. That was, I feel like that one was pretty linear as well, where it was, you know, you were watching conference, you were younger, you went to Argentina. It wasn't maybe as point by point as my dream was, but again, yeah. I think that's
and a not cool as much thing. Action. Like your dream had a lot of like high pace sort of stakes and like you're running from like different goals, going from one place to another. Like yours had a lot of action. It felt almost like an action or like a horror movie or like a, or also like a fantasy or a, you know, a feel good by the end, but
yeah, a thriller of some sort.
Yeah.
Whereas yours definitely feels like taking a step back, pacing it slowly and just kind of allowing it to happen, which I think I prefer. I prefer that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are running a little bit long. Austin, before we go.
Yeah.
What is your song recommendation today?
So I've been on this binge of Novo Amor recently. He's a wonderful artist. Sort of sounds like Bon Iver, kind of early or like certain era of Kanye West vibes, like when he went into autotune a little bit. So yeah, Novo Amor is a great artist. If you haven't listened to him, I highly recommend. But there's a song called Decimal that I stumbled upon. And honestly, this whole album's really good. Halloween, I Feel Better. There's tons of other good songs on here. Birdcage is great. But I wanted to focus on a few lyrics in Decimal. And this is one of those examples where the title of the song doesn't appear anywhere in the song, I don't think. Yeah, it's just called Decimal. But the musically, it sort of has like a, not a techno, but sort of like a repetitive kind of quick vibe to it. And it sort of feels like mathematical or like decimal in a way. Which maybe that's not what he was going for, but for me, that's sort of the feeling I got as I listened to it. But there's a few lines in here where he says, at the very beginning, he says, could you let me know? I think he's talking to a girl. He says, I couldn't find the phone. I guess I got that summer you said I could be all right if you could rewrite my life. And I said it won't faze me, but I reckon I may have been wrong. And I love that line. Like he just says, I could be all right. And I think he said, so he says, you said I could be all right if you could rewrite my life. But it's sort of a lexical ambiguity. I don't know if the woman is saying that she could be all right if he could rewrite her life, or if she's saying that he would be all right if she could rewrite his life. I don't know. It could go either way. But I love that idea. Like, man, my life would be better if you could have like written it with me, like I, or written it for me. I don't know how to explain it, but beautiful lyric. And then later, a couple stanzas down, he says, I should let this go because I hear you stall in the way you said, is it all right to feel like I do at all? And I love that line because it's like, there's times where you feel a certain way and you're like, is it okay that I feel like I do at all? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he packs a punch. His lyrics and his music line up very well. It's very ethereal. His voice, the way he sings, it's kind of hard to understand if you don't have the lyrics with you. So if anyone listens to it, I recommend like reading along with the lyrics. It really adds more to the song. But that's
beautiful.
Decimal by Novo Amor, I highly recommend.
Awesome. Decimal by Novo Amor.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And it'll be, I'm not sure if anybody is interested, but I do have a Apple Music playlist of all of Austin's recommended music that I will link in the description for this episode. So
awesome.
You can find it there. Awesome. Thank you, Austin. This has been a good return to form, just under an hour. So
yeah. We were kind of making up for lost time. I figured it'd go a bit longer, but this is great. Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for joining me, and we'll plan on doing another one, not next week, but the week after.
Sounds great, man.
All right. Love you, dude.
All right. Love you, bro.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dreamcast with Lincoln Oliphant and Austin Weaver. To catch future episodes, subscribe to us on your favorite streaming platform, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or many others, where we upload a new episode every other Saturday. The Dreamcast. Dream awake.